Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. We're talking Saturday's three-game slate. It used to be four games. Now it's three games. Tomorrow, Saturday at DraftKings, I'm joined by Jordan Cooper and Ryan Belangi. And first up, Ryan, this is, I believe, your first show of the season. You're coming to us from nearby Crystal Palace. And are you, so this is, we sent you over there, you know, this is boots on the ground reporting. So is this going to help you analyze the upcoming slates here or what?
Well, I hope so. Yeah. Back in London, a little closer to the action now. Maybe I can get some inside scoops, you know, being in the heart of the Premier League, you know, I hope so. Cause I haven't fared too well on these Saturday slates recently.
Well, it's 2022. We're going to turn that around. So Jordan, I believe this is your kind of slate here. There are no elite teams on the slate. Six teams, and they're all pretty even. So what do we look at first here?
I love, this is my type of slate. You know why? It's a dinky-do slate. It's an absolute dinky-do slate. Obviously, we have the Leicester-Burnley match that's been postponed, so you don't have to worry about that. I didn't necessarily love all that many players in that game to begin with. So I almost would have rather it been on the slate and let other people go for those players. But we have three games that are fairly close in odds. I mean, if we take a look at this, at the soccer cheat sheets, what you can find at rotowire.com, get a free trial. Everton is the biggest favorite, but not by much. I mean, they're an away favorite to Norwich. Newcastle is a home favorite to Watford. Wolves are a home favorite to Southampton, but like these implied team totals aren't that high. Newcastle's the highest at 1.65, and Southampton's the lowest at 1.03. So like the range isn't that dramatic. I don't feel like I need to jam in a particular team. And I think we have a lot of forwards on the slate that are overpriced, especially for their anytime goal scoring odds. And that's why I think it's the chalk build is going to be more cheap forwards and expensive midfielders, expensive defenders. So maybe the contrarian way to play this slate in GPP is to basically overpay for forwards and hope they get 2+ goals on a slate that may not even be that high scoring.
Yeah, that's Ryan. I just posted your article this morning, rotowire.com. Check that out after listening to our show, of course, but seems like cash move, cheap forward, expensive midfielders. So logically, GPB move is the opposite of that. So I guess starting with forwards here. So Townsend is 9,700. Just comparing him to Damari Gray at 9,900. So in cash games, would we rather pay for Gray at 9,900 and midfield only, or are we dishing out 97 for Townsend? Or do we want neither of them?
Well, I think in a cash build, you're playing one 9K plus player. The question comes in on whether it is Townsend, whether it is Gray, or whether it is James Ward-Prowse. And I don't think the forward. I don't think the eligibility matters. So, like, when I'm viewing Townsend at 9,700, it's like, oh, well, he's forward eligible. It's like, but I mean, it's not like we have a great slate anyway. In like, even in the mid-range at midfield. So, like, I could find forwards under 6K or under 7K to plug in there that I don't mind at all. I think, to me, Everton is the overpriced team on the entire slate. Like, Townsend at 9,700, if starting, probably doesn't even play 90, right? He hasn't been playing 90. They tend to split their set pieces. I know Lucas Digne isn't there anymore, but still they got Damari Gray. They got Anthony Gordon even, and he's 7,800. So, like, I'm not really rushing to throw these guys in. Calvert-Lewin is 9,100, and he has the same goal-scoring odds as Raul Jimenez, but he's $4,000 more expensive, and he's extremely goal-dependent. So, like, he's definitely not an option in cash games. That really, the question comes in the high end with Townsend is that, is he worth more than Gray or Ward-Prowse? And I think since I don't necessarily on this construction care that much about making sure I have pay up at forward, like I'd much rather play Gray or Ward-Prowse than play Townsend on this slate if he's only going to play like 70 to 75 minutes.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Now, you might be able to – I'm interested to what you hear about – or to what you have to say about the construction, because you don't – you might be able to pay up for two. I mean, if you don't pay up for two, I guess what are you doing? Where are you going for the dinky-do at forward?
If you're paying up for two midfielders, that means you have to punt at one defender spot, right? You're going to have to punt at a utility spot. You know, you're going to – you end up getting like a $3,500 player in there. I've tried to make some of those builds. And also depends on who you play at forward. So I think from a dinky do perspective, when we go down the list at forward, like we get guys like Dennis at 8,600. There's no chance in hell that you play him at that price. I mean, you get a lot of these overpriced forwards. St. Maximin at 8,200. Potence at 8,000. Jay Adams at 7,400. I think the first person you stop at and consider is Cucho Hernandez at 7,300, depending on the Watford starting lineup. He may end up with a monopoly of set pieces. Of course, it's not the best matchup. They're one of the bigger underdogs, and I'm using air quotes because nothing is really that heavy of an underdog. So I don't mind Cucho Hernandez at 7,300, but I'm looking more towards, I think to me, there's four players for cash that you're considering for the dinky do in some regard. Cucho Hernandez, Mlyss Rozicka of Norwich, assuming he starts with Gilmore out, and even if Plachetta doesn't play if Rozicka plays, so most likely Rozicka will have a monopoly of set pieces for Norwich. And then at the bottom range, Joe Linton at 5,900. Newcastle is at home and favored. I mean, He's not the greatest of players, but he'll probably play 90 and they'll be attacking most of the game. So, like, I don't mind him. And then you have Raul Jimenez at 5,100. Like, yes, he's very goal dependent also, but he's 5,100. I mean, like Wolves are at home and favored. If you need a cheap goal, he's the one to go to. And I'm just going to put an honorable mention. I don't think he starts. If Chris Wood starts for Newcastle, at center forward, he's 4,800, but I doubt even if he starts, he's going to play more than like 65 minutes. See, so I think I'd rather, if Jimenez starts, most likely he plays 90. Mm-hmm. So I'd much rather go to Jimenez, but just understand when you're playing Jimenez, like if he doesn't score, he could sit there with 2.5 points, right? I think Joe Linton has a higher floor, but a lower ceiling. And I think that Hernandez and Rozicka have much higher floors than those two, but obviously you're paying for it in those cases. So like Rozicka and Hernandez have the lowest goal scoring odds out of the bunch, but I could see that they could both get to 10 possibly easier without a goal, while the other two guys, like if they're not involved in some type of goal scoring play, They're not doing that hot. The problem comes in is that if you do like Kucho plus Rzeźko, like, and then you put in a 9K midfielder, like you're going to have to punt at the midfielder's not second midfielder spot. And you're going to have to punt at the defender spot. And I think on this slate, I think Ryan, you'd agree with me, especially since you love these defender constructions, that defender is is not great, but it's too strong that I don't want to play a center back. I don't want to play a $3,700 full quote unquote fullback that has a 3-point floor type of play. I kind of want to pay 5K plus for both of my defenders. So I see the Kucho Rzeźko builds, unless you're not going to play a 9K midfielder, to not be worthwhile. You're most likely playing, like, to me, I think that I'd rather do Rzeźko Joe Linton, but like I'm not upset by playing a $5,100 Raul Jimenez in my lineup.
No, me either. And yeah, I definitely want to start with two defenders over 5K. I don't think that's the spot to punt on this slate. You know, these expensive guys, at least the ones on Everton, are sort of overpriced and a bit unpredictable. I don't think it's worth prioritizing them and giving up so much at defender. $5,100 Jimenez seems good to me in cash. You might be able to spend up for two guys if you go that low. I'm not sure. I like Joe Linton too, though. Surprising to say, it's like he feels safer than some of the other options, at least that he's going to play 90 minutes and the matchup is good. And he's, you know, he's shown a pretty good floor in favorable matchups. And this one against Watford should be a pretty good spot for Newcastle. So I don't mind going to Joe Linton either. Kucho seems a bit risky. I know, like, depending on the lineup, he could have a monopoly, which I don't know. It's go ahead.
I'm looking at I think I captained Kucho at Leicester in their cup match over the weekend. And so I'm looking at the corner numbers in that game. Kucho took 1 of 5 corners. Cleverley took 2. Ozan Tufan took 1. And then Ken Sema took 1 off the bench. Kucho played a full 90 in that game. So, like, if you want to pay that, like, that year, I don't think there's.
Yeah, but all those other guys aren't even in the projected starting lineup, right? Or Tufan is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
It's quite possible Kucho doesn't even start, right? He played 90. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he doesn't even. I just threw him in as an option because he obviously has a floor. It's a 3-game slate. It's a forward with a floor that's not goal driven. So why not? Yeah, yeah. Out of the four guys, I break him fourth on the list. Out of the four, I think number one is Rzeźko. Number two is Joe Linton. Number three is Jimenez. And number four is Kucho. And like, and it's quite possible. And dude, depending on the constructions you make, it's quite possible to play three of them. Like you may, like it may be worth it to just like you have them. You have, if you're playing a 1-9K midfielder, you're stuck there at a utility spot with like 5,900. And it's like, outside, like either you're playing a defender in that spot or you're playing Joe Linton. And it's like from an upside perspective, I don't mind, but I think I'm more likely in the utility spot in that situation to just play three defenders.
Yeah.
I think defender, Ryan, when we get to defender, I think there's a lot to talk about at defender because there are many combinations that you can make and it depends on who's in and who's out and what I'm talking about Newcastle specifically.
Yep.
But ultimately, like, I don't love the forward spot, but I think, are there any options other than what we've just talked about? I mean, like what else would you do at forward?
I got a few things here. So if you're looking at Watford, I think João Pedro is, you know, someone to go off of. Kucho, if you don't want Kucho, like whenever he's in the starting 11, he seems to do something. But if Adam Ida starts again for Norwich, he's 3,900. I think it's between him and Kieran Dowell to start. Dowell's midfield only, he's 3,700. But Ida's 3,900. He had a floor of 8 points at West Ham midweek. And like, it's not like he's 3,900, but he's home. It's not like Everton are great. Like, I think there's some floor there. He played an attacking midfield position. He's an attacking player. So it's not like this is a complete punt. I think he still has a floor. He's 3,900. So, you know,
but he's only valuable because he fills a forward position. I don't think you need to worry that much about that. So like at his price, I mean, there are several midfielders or defenders I'd almost rather play over him if I don't need to fill a forward spot.
Well, if you want to spend if you want to spend up at both your midfielders, you can go down to Ida kind of thing.
Yeah, but you could also do that by playing Joe Linton and Jimenez, and you could still do the same thing.
Yeah,
like, but the cost prohibitiveness on this slate is not dramatic, especially with some of these Everton guys being like overpriced. That like I almost feel that for GPPs, that's the lowest ceiling build. Like, it's weird for me to say that the lowest ceiling build is double pay up midfielder, but I think when it comes to, we'll talk about midfielder now. Ryan, I want to know your thoughts on ceiling between Ward-Prowse and Gray, and how come I have this feeling, and I'm the biggest James Ward-Prowse person in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Like, plug him in, death taxes, James Ward-Prowse getting 10 points, but like, he's 9,500, so like, 10 like, yes, he's the safest. You're paying for safety, but from a ceiling perspective, wouldn't Gray have so much more upside than Ward-Prowse? I just have a sneaking suspicion that this is a James Ward-Prowse chalk slate where he busts. Because he's on the lowest, implied total team on the road, and he may still be fine in cash. He gets 11 points and he's 80% owned and you're fine there. But I almost feel like Gray has more upside. And then if Gray fails also, I feel like it's because like Calvert-Lewin has two goals. I feel like some of these you look at Podence at 8,000 and go, how do you pay 8,000 for Podence? And he gets a goal and an assist. And like, that's the way you win GPPs rather than try to jam in Gray and Ward-Prowse together.
Yeah, I agree with you. Actually, I think pretty much everything you said. I mean, yeah, I want to think Gray has a higher ceiling, but you know, you look at Ward-Prowse's game log and he's got three goals and two assists in the last four. I mean, so you got to say there's a ceiling there based on the fact that he takes PKs and has made a couple direct free kicks already this season.
How much are you putting in this matchup though? Like,
no, not much.
Wolves,
like
Wolves are probably playing the best defense maybe of anyone in the league right now.
Yeah, so I couldn't be any more impressed with Wolves at the moment. They pretty much dominated Man United on Monday. They had a lot of possession. United barely had any chances. So yeah, it's not a great spot for Ward-Prowse. I want to fade him in GPPs. I think this could be at the week where he busts.
I want to give
points to that.
Two other stats for this. So Ward-Prowse, they lost 1-0 earlier this season against Wolves. He had a floor of 15 points. And the other thing with Wolves, so they've been great, but one of their best defenders, Romain Saïss, he's away for African Cup of Nations. And they started Fernando Marcão at center back, I believe, in their cup match last weekend. So these are two more things to consider.
Does that make you like Ward-Prowse?
I still don't like the matchup overall. I didn't originally like the matchup, and then you look at his floor in that last meeting, and his general floor is just, you know, it's always up there. I don't think he has the same upside as Gray, though. Going back to that original point with Jordan there, you just got to think a guy on Everton against Norwich has more upside than, you know, Southampton away to what will be a super defensive match between, you know, Southampton and Wolves. So,
yeah, I think so too. You know, the one thing is sometimes on these three game slates where there's not high implied totals and we don't have the elite teams playing, you know, someone like Ward-Prowse shows up on the winner with 11 floor points, 12 floor points, you know, that happens quite a bit. So, you know, you might not need him to have a big ceiling game, but yeah, I agree. I still would rather take a chance on those overpriced Everton guys. You know, more, I tend to side with the open play upside in tournaments.
Well, how about like is Anthony Gordon worth playing at 7,800? Like, I take a look at the mid range of midfield, and to me, midfield is like, to me is the weakest position on the slate. It's like you have pay up options, and then it's like you go down from there, and it's like in between that and like maybe 5,000, you're like, I don't want to play any of these. But half the people aren't even in, so it's like you're just skipping over, and you're going Anthony Gordon 7,800. You're going like Shelvey at 5,800. I don't think so. Moutinho at 5,600. Really? I mean, I'm the biggest Moutinho supporter, but why? But I don't think you have to do that. Then you get like Gerard Kuchka at 5,100. It's like, why isn't he 3,600? And you keep on going, and you're just like, is there anyone to play? And then you get to like, it makes a guy like Trintau at 4,600 much more appealing, even though his range of outcomes is much wider than you think, because he's likely not going to play 90 minutes. But if Ait Nouri is not in and Markkal is in, Trincao has been splitting some set pieces recently. And who else am I going to play? It's a 3-game slate. So oh, wow. What happens if he only plays 70 minutes? Like, well, he's 4,600. If he doesn't show up on the score sheet, he could still possibly get 8 points for 4,600 regardless. And he's an attacking player in the front three for Wolves. So maybe he ends up with 18 in 62 minutes. I look at this range of like the Trincaos, the Nevises, even like a Longstaff, a Lise Malou, if he's in. Like, to me, I don't view these 4K high 3K midfielders any differently than like Moutinho and Shelvey and guys that are like 2,000 more. And in fact, in this range, like if I had another defender spot, I'd rather play. Like, I don't even want the second midfield spot. I want a third defender spot than to play like Moutinho over any of those 5K defenders. Like, I'll play the 5K defenders.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Trincao is a pretty good play. Yeah, I agree with everything you said, especially for tournaments. You know, yeah, his range of outcomes is wide, and he's probably not guaranteed to play 90 minutes. But on this 3-game slate, you know, almost no one's guaranteed to play 90 minutes, at least guys that you're thinking about playing in tournaments. As far as Anthony Gordon, yeah, like I think you made like a pretty good argument for it, actually, just because no one's going to roster him. Midfield is very weak. And, you know, what makes Gordon, you know, any worse than Townsend or Gray, even besides a couple of set pieces? I mean, he arguably has more open play upside than Townsend. Go ahead.
I will say, so I don't believe I have Richarlison in the starting 11 here. So Richarlison's coming back, and there's a chance Gordon moves out of the starting 11. But even if he starts, I think he may be the first one to sub off. He was the first one to sub off in their cup match against Hull City. So in that match, Gray and Gordon started. Gray took 6 corners. Gordon took 1. So, if you're considering all that, I kind of think Gordon, sure, GPPs, but that price is just, it's pretty heavy there.
Oh, no, yes. The price is absolutely heavy. He's overpriced, and it's like what makes him like a decent tournament play is that no one's going to play him because,
yeah,
you're right. Like, I'm just saying, at least as far as goal upside, if they all start, it's not like Townsend or Gray is more likely to score a goal or get an assist than Gordon, which makes him a good tournament play. He's definitely overpriced with most of Everton is, and he's definitely, you know, not as safe as those other guys. But I was just saying, you know, I agree with Jordan that the midfield is not great. I mean, pretty much at the top, middle, bottom, there's really nothing that stands out. So taking a shot on a guy who, you know, just showed he could score a brace, you know, in a matchup against Norwich can't be that bad.
In the midfield range at like the punt defender type of level, like for like, so I don't have to punt the defender. I don't mind playing someone like Stuart Armstrong if he's in the starting lineup for Southampton. I mean, he'd be playing in El Niasi's spot. 3,600, he does attack. Maybe he doesn't play 90, but I'm fine with that. I'd rather play Armstrong over like a Decore, who plays more defensively anyway. I'm just like, when I'm looking in this like sub 4K range, all I'm looking for is players in attacking positions, right? Because you're going to find defensive midfielders here, but they're you know, Oriol Romeu ain't doing much, right? So like right. In this range, like if you need to punt, I don't mind Stuart Armstrong. I mean, because he's more of a punt than Trincao is.
Definitely.
And so, like, I don't want to play a $3,500 central defender. I'd want to avoid that at all costs on this slate.
I'd rather play Adam Ida.
Yeah, Ida or Dowell is there at 3,700. But Jordan, so you brought up Decore. He is, you know, more of a defensive midfielder, but you know, with Rafa Benitez, he's actually played more forward, and his price has dropped because Everton have had all these injuries. But Everton, they're basically healthy right now. So if we look back, beginning of the season, Everton are healthy. They have other guys. They play how they want to play. First 8 matches of the season, Decore, 2 goals, 4 assists. And that's kind of like Decore's come out and said it. Benitez come out and said they want Decore to get, you know, a little more forward. Sure, he plays – he's going to get more forward than Allen, and, you know, he's in that central midfield role, and, you know, you can call him a defensive midfielder. But, like, the stats are there that he does actually have upside. And for 3,500, I think that's a worthwhile play.
Yeah. Right. No, you're right, actually. You know, he was 5,500, 5,200. I mean, the price tag's all the way down for a great matchup. Yeah, makes a lot of sense.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Defender. Okay. At defender, to me, I think there's only one player that is just comes auto-loaded into my lineups.
Lucas Digne.
No, he doesn't play for Everton anymore.
Will there be anyone with Digne in the lineup? I don't know. He's highlighted in red here. There may be some mistakes.
Maybe you get 1% in GPP or something like that. 5,200, Ryan Fraser, playing in an advanced position with a split of set pieces. Like, there's no better defender play on the slate. The question comes in is – ain't Nuri going to be back for Wolves? And if he's back, will he be taking a share of set pieces anymore? Because if he's not, 6,300 is too expensive for him. He'd be more like a $5,200 defender. So it's not like his value goes like dramatically down. But to me, on this slate, the defenders I want to play are essentially whoever starts at wing back for Wolves. And whoever starts at fullback for Newcastle, which includes Fraser, who doesn't even play fullback. Here's the question for Ryan. Is Matt Ritchie worth 6,000 anymore?
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think so. So that's part of what sold me on, yeah, Frazier, just locking Frazier in. In the cup match last week, Frazier took most of the corners. I think he took 9 of 12 corners, and Trippier took the other 3. I believe Richie took 0. I'm pretty sure that's correct. If that's the case, you know, I'll just go by that most recent game, and then I don't want to play Richie. You know, he doesn't do much from open play, especially now that they've moved to a back four. So yeah, lock in Frazier, and then I'm pretty confident that Ait Nori will be back on sets. Assuming they
went 90 in their cup match.
Yeah, so
he's good.
Assuming they move Markkal to the back three again, Ait Nori on the left. I know what Jordan's saying with Trincão in there. Trincão has been taking some of the left-footed sets with Ait Nori out, but I think Ait Nori jumps back on that role. So I'm comfortable going there, him and Frazier. And yeah, you're right, though. There's other Newcastle fullbacks. Like, I just play Trippier.
How do you not play Trippier over Richie just for pure open play value? Trippier for the past, essentially, since DFS has started for soccer, is essentially like just Crossman. I mean, him and Jesus Navas is just Crossman. When Trippier was on Burnley, it's like Burnley weren't even a good team. It's just like, well, he's going to cross the ball 18 times, so why not play him? Even with Frazier playing on that side, like if I had a choice between Trippier and Richie, I'd just play Trippier. I mean, like, it's only a $300 difference. If Richie was like 4,800, then that'd be a different story. And I could say the same thing with the Wolves guys. Like if Ait Nori isn't in, it's like, well, I'm just going to play Semedo. I'm just going to play Markkal. I'm just going to play. Like, to me, that's the choices here. I wouldn't mind if my two defender spots and utility spots were 3 out of 4 of those play out of 5 of those players, because technically Frazier should just be a midfielder, right? Frazier really should be midfield only and not defender. So you're just getting a boost by giving him clean sheet equity. Mm-hmm. In addition to his open play value, and probably Frazier, if he was a midfielder, should be like 6,200 and not 5,200. So to me, Frazier was the first guy in all of my lineups. I only put one dummy lineup in, but he was like the first guy in, and then I figure everything out. And or am I overvaluing that?
No,
I mean,
no, I don't think you were overvaluing it. He's the first guy in for me too. I mean, I'd assume this is probably the last week we're going to see him as a defender. I mean, as long as DK is sort of up on their stuff, but now that, yeah, I agree with everything you said. I wouldn't mind having 3 of these defenders in there. One at utilities, the Wolves and the Newcastle guys. Yeah. I think they're better.
People are going to try to punt. Cause I could see people like, oh, I'm going to play one and then punt a defender and play Ben Godfrey at 3,900 or play Brandon Williams at 3,700. It's like, dude, these guys aren't worth, like, don't waste the defender spot. Like, if you need a $3,800 guy, like, if Ida's there, fine, play him. If Stuart Armstrong, Decore, like, all those guys are much better than these pseudo fullbacks that really, when you take a look at when they do put up points, it's because they have, like, 5 tackles won. It's not because they're attacking and crossing the ball.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I hope people decide to punt defender. Yeah, that just seems like the wrong move on this slate. There's no one to spend up for. I mean, yeah, there's a few guys, but what are you really doing it for? You're going to lose too much. I mean, we've talked about it before. These are like good defender plays, and they're better than the midfielders in that same range, most likely. You're just going to make up so many floor points on the field for people who decide to punt, and then they're not going to get anything out of their punts anyways. So yeah, I'll be loading these defenders and maybe even have 3 of them, even in tournaments.
I know what Adam's center back plays going to be.
All right. Let's see. I think
I know what it is. I know it's okay. Every show. There's always,
okay.
I know to me, it's obvious. Okay.
Okay.
I think it's obvious, especially with defenders on this team are going to be popular.
Okay. Yeah. And
they're not, and people aren't going to play this defender. The cheapest one that has plus 900 goal scoring is the highest center back goal scoring odds on the slate. And that's Fabian Schär. Right?
Oh, wait, you're going with
Schär? You thought it was Lascelles?
I'm going the Shells. He's 2,500.
Okay, that's a little bit different. Okay, well, 600. I thought maybe you're going to go like Michael Keane on Everton or something. It's like, no, no one's playing those defenders.
No, I mean, we're already getting the set-piece takers for Newcastle. Just throw in Lascelles as the third defender there in the utility spot. Get the goal, get the assist from whoever, Frazier or Trippier, and you're good to go. And then, I don't know, maybe a clean sheet. Probably not, but...
No, what's going to happen? What's going to happen based on what all our talk is that... You're gonna play Trippier, Frazier, Lascelles, or Shar in your last.
Shelvey is gonna. It's gonna be Shelvey.
No, Richie's gonna score two goals.
It's gonna be Richie. Okay. It could be. It will be Richie and Shelvey splitting set pieces. That's what it will be.
I don't think they go back to that. Brutal. I don't think that happens with the new system and everything. Essentially, they're playing as Bournemouth. I mean, essentially, you're playing Bournemouth again, right? That's what Newcastle is now. It's Bournemouth with money.
Yeah.
One thing
I want to say, just in case you see it, because I've seen some predicted Watford lineups that have them using three at the back with wing backs. They have a new signing, Hassan Kamara. He's loves to attack, left back, good player in the French league for Nice for a while. Like playing on the wing would be okay, and even like Femenia for 3,500 on the other wing would be okay. I'm just saying it's an option against Newcastle. I don't like to roster Watford defenders either, but if they switch up the formation, you know, those guys would get forward quite a bit. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, one thing with Watford, like they added three players within, I don't know, the past week. And, you know, there's a chance all three of them start, like maybe Samir starts at center back because they don't really have a ton of options right now. But I don't know if they start three new guys, even two new guys, especially on the back line. It's like these guys have been training together for less than a week. So it just seems kind of
makes Newcastle look better.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of risky. Like these guys really haven't been communicating. Who knows like how well English these guys speak. So I mean,
you're right. Sure. A bunch of new players in the team is a recipe for a disaster a lot of times.
Yeah. So what I was going to say before we start with that, I mean, we mentioned Chris Wood a little bit, but 4,800. And if you're looking at Callum Wilson at 6,200, like I know Wood has been terrible this season, but he's on a new team and he's got 1,400 savings compared to the injured Callum Wilson. If Wood starts, like, is that, he's going to have the top goal scoring odds. Is that going to be a cash move, I guess?
Well, I mentioned him before. He's in the same boat as Raul Jimenez.
Okay.
Someone that's underpriced for their goal scoring odds. And if you need a cheap forward, there you go. I mean,
would you play Jimenez and Wood together though at those prices?
I probably wouldn't do that, but
yeah.
But yeah.
That seems like a little much. It seems, I was going to say playing them together seems like a little much. And, I agree. If we didn't have Jimenez, like as Jordan said, like Jimenez just is safer, the playing time's safer. You know he's going 90. You're not quite sure what to expect from Wood. If we didn't have Jimenez, then yeah, I think Wood is, you know, kind of locked in there for 4,800. But I think you probably just go to Jimenez if you're going to go that route.
All right. So goalkeeper, Pickford, 5,300 away to Norwich. I don't. Is there anyone that stands out here? You got Krul. Krul's always a good option. It seems like 4,500 though, home against Everton. Jose Sa, 4,900. There's really
he's the underpriced one. He actually has they have the highest clean sheet odds on the slate.
Would you
not the highest win odds, but I mean, dude, we're talking about three pick'em games and a goalkeepers that the highest price is 5,300 and the lowest price is what, 4,200 or something? Like, dude, just close your eyes and hope for the best.
Well, I would avoid the Newcastle Watford game. I think that match is going to have the most goals. And I'd probably choose between those other four teams there.
Yeah, Sal looks pretty good. I mean, like Jordan said, best clean sheet odds, but he's the third most expensive keeper. So, I mean, you're getting a little bit of value. But again, just correlate it with your lineup.
In GPPs, would you play Ward-Prowse and Sa together?
No.
I don't really do that, but it's okay only because Ward-Prowse can be on winning lineups with 11, 12 points. And, you know, just what if Wolves score in the 10th minute, in the 15th minute, and win the game 1-0? I mean, Ward-Prowse, you know, you mentioned, what do you have, 16 floor points or sometime, something like that last game. He's the type of player you can do it with. I still don't, because when I roster Ward-Prowse, I want him to score or get an assist. But it's viable on these smaller slates where floors might come into play more.
Right. Yeah, it makes more sense on a 3-game slate. If this was a 5 or 6 game slate, I would say
no chance.
Like they just get other options. Get someone else in that spot. But I mean, even on 3-game slates, I'm with you, Ryan. If I could avoid it, I assume when any time I roster an outfield player, I assume that I'm getting at least a goal, if not an assist. And anytime that I roster a defender, I'm getting at least either 12 floor points or a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mind playing Trent Alexander-Arnold against the defense, like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So like, I just build my lineups accordingly. So like if I have Sa in my lineup, like I'm most likely going to have a Wolves wingback in my lineup. If I play, if I have two, if I'm playing the Trippier Lascelles,
Frazier
lineup, I'm just going to play Dubrovka in that lineup, because like I want the super ceiling of all of it. If the center back scores, like I want that plus the clean sheets of all of these guys, and then on the other side I don't play any Watford players because that goes against it all. And then if I don't, like, let's say I don't play Frazier in a lineup and I don't play Trippier in a lineup, like that's a lineup that has the Watford goalkeeper and like Kamara if he starts, paired with, you know, Dennis, that no one's going to play, right? That 4% owned, $8,600 overpriced forward. Like, that's how I build my lineups, no matter the size of the slate in general. But on 3-game slates, you're more likely, because there's less options, that weirder things like, you know, 8 points from some $5,800 guy is just good enough to be in the winning lineup. And there you go. I mean, like, so you don't have to necessarily worry that much about, as much about, well, if this guy scores, can this guy get there? And especially a goalkeeper, if there's no clean sheets on this slate, goalkeeper is just going to be like non-existent. It's just going to be, everyone's going to be within like 2 to 6 points, and it's not going to matter.
Right. Yep. I agree. Yeah. Last week, FA Cup slate was like that. There were no clean sheets. It didn't matter what goal you had. They all scored like 3 points or 5 points or something. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's it. We touched on pretty much everything. So, you guys have anything else?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Ryan has to get ready for his hometown Crystal Palace match. They got a big one. They're at Brighton here, so we got to get the showdown lineups going. But thanks for joining me. Ryan is at Ryan Belangi on Twitter. Jordan is at BlenderHD. And you can find us in the RotoWire Discord. That's rotowire.com/chat. And you'll find out how to get there. And if you don't have a subscription to RotoWire, rotowire.com/soccertrial. Free 10-day trial. No credit card required. Again, thanks, guys, for joining me. This has been a Saturday discussion for the 3-game slate at DraftKings. And good luck to everyone. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.